The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
Flee when you can, fight when you must. Ah, there's the American spirit. That's the new school safety plan at a school district near Erie, Pennsylvania. The schools across the country are taking a hard look at their readiness for attack, and this district is arming their teachers with a weapon in the event they ever have to fight. You know those little souvenir baseball bats that you get sometimes in stadiums? You know, they're about 12 or so inches and... Yeah, it's pretty much those. They've given the teachers these little teeny souvenir baseball bats. And, so the teachers, are going to have this glorified drumstick in the event of a hobbit attack or a squirrel invasion. These bats are going to come in really handy. I mean, if a 12-inch Nolan Ryan comes in and just starts pitching baseballs, those teachers are going to be ready. And I think congratulations. The district superintendent says teachers aren't expected to confront the attacker with these chopsticks on steroids, which is good because you'd probably be killed. But the superintendent said, quote, the bats are more symbolic than anything else.
Oh,
that's why I called the White House and I said, President Trump, you know what? Forget about sending cruise missiles over to Syria. Let's do something symbolic. Let's just light off an incredible fireworks show. And it'll be symbolic of us bombing the chemical weapons animal. What do you think? I think it would work. Symbolism usually works really well against people who are nuts. I guess they could have gone with a regular size baseball bat or maybe even an aluminum bat. It'd give you a fighting chance. The district's 500 teachers each received their 16-inch souvenir bat, which I'm sure they all went, okay, now I'm safe. It's one thing to joke about arming teachers. It's another thing to arm them with souvenir bats and think that is a good idea, because that's a joke that'll get you killed. You know what I'm saying? The reality is the organizations that train teachers know how to survive attacks, and they recommend trying to throw books, chairs, and any items that you have handy at the attacker. So give everybody a baseball bat. What do you think? Another reality is the typical classrooms only have one door, so students and teachers can easily be trapped during an attack. Even a miniature bat may not get them to safety, but it may be better than nothing. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So there's two parts of this story. At least somebody's doing something, right? So it's nice to hear a school district emphasizing the potential of fighting back against an attacker rather than relying on just hiding in a lockdown. the little baseball bat is probably not the best idea, but according to a local survey, the district's residents are overwhelmingly in favor of giving guns to at least some of the teachers and staff. The problem is state of Pennsylvania hasn't made that legal yet. And the teachers union, they don't think, here, have another bat. So until that happens, if you have kids in school in Pennsylvania, you better pray that a hobbit-sized Nolan Ryan does not walk through your child's door.
It's Thursday, April 12th.
So
you're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
This week, there has been a lot of talk about Facebook and a lot of questions about Facebook and the way they run their algorithms. And are they hurting conservatives? The answer is yes. But here's just a few of the questions.
In May of 2016, Gizmodo reported that Facebook had purposely and routinely suppressed conservative stories from trending news, including stories about CPAC, including stories about Mitt Romney, including stories about the Lois Lerner IRS scandal, including stories about Glenn Beck. In addition to that, Facebook has initially shut down the Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day page, has blocked a post of a Fox News reporter, has blocked over two dozen Catholic pages, and most recently blocked Trump supporters Diamond and Silk's page with 1.2 million Facebook followers after determining their content and brand were, quote, unsafe to the community.
Well, they are so dangerous, because I think they're hysterical myself. I'm a fan. I don't always agree with them, but I'm a fan. And I just wish they just weren't so dangerous, building bombs or whatever it is they're doing that only Facebook knows about. Diamond and Silk, welcome to the program. How are you?
We're wonderful.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. First of all, let me start with just the human thing. What was it like to watch a congressional hearing and hear your name mentioned over and over and over again?
Well, you know what? I was smiling from ear to ear. We were smiling from ear to ear because it's like, okay, so you have representatives up there that's fighting for the small voices like ours. So we really appreciated it. Because we thought that, you know, we was happy that they were bringing it to light, because this sort of thing has been going on for quite some time now.
That's right.
I know, because I watch, you know, obviously internet traffic for because of what I do, and I know that conservative voices are being squashed. They can take your site. You have 1.2 million followers. These are people who say, I want to hear, I want it in my feed, I want to see Diamond and Silk when they post something.
Right.
And they have changed the algorithm. Can you tell me and explain to the audience what has happened to you guys?
Okay, so what happened was back in September of 2017, we noticed there was like a pause on our page where our information and content wouldn't come up for about 8 hours. We reached out to Facebook. They resolved that particular issue. And then after that, we noticed a significant drop in our reach. We noticed we started getting complaints from our followers and stating that they was not receiving their notification. We're not showing up in their news feed. Facebook is making them answer questions. They can't like and follow our page. Somebody has unliked them and unfollowed them, and it wasn't them. Just all kind of kooky things. So we've been back and forth with Facebook for about, what, almost 7 months now. And then finally, they made the decision on April the 5th that our brand and content was deemed unsafe to the community. And so when you look at our brand and content, our brand is us. We're Diamond and Silk, two black chicks, down with politics, love our country, very patriotic, love our president and his agenda. So what are you saying? So we was taken aback by it. We was offended by it, appalling. It was just appalling what was written to us. And so we said, you know what? They told us we couldn't appeal it. So because they told us we couldn't appeal it, Silk put it out there on social media. And then it just started gaining momentum from there.
Silk, I never ever want to do a tour or even this radio show. I would like to see if I could hire you away from Diamond, because I can't get Stu to do what you do. I can't get Stu to do
That's right.
And I absolutely love it.
Thank you for loving us. Thank you so much, sweetie.
Okay, so tell me, when you heard Mark Zuckerberg say that, you know, no, this is not happening, what'd you think?
Well, it's sad that he don't know his business. He don't know the business model and how these algorithms work. These algorithms are put in place to suppress conservative voices. And I think that what he's trying to do is turn Facebook into a political playground for
Democrats and let them
do whatever they want to do while we suppress conservative voices. And I know they want to say, oh, it's a private entity, but it's open to the public. And when you're open to the public, you cannot discriminate. You can't say one voice is better than the other, because there's nothing in your fine print that says this platform is for liberals and we're only going to hear liberal point of views and not conservative point of view.
That's right. And not only that, just, you know, messing with us monetarily. You know, we understand that Mark Zuckerberg, he's like the American dream. He's obtained the American dream. Well, Diamond and Silk, we started from nothing, and we want to also obtain the American dream, but to have someone pull the rug from underneath your feet and then take that feet and put it on your neck and suppress you, you can't make any money. You can't build your brand. Now our brand is labeled. Our brand has now been tarnished as unsafe to the community, like we were some type of terrorist or something.
What does that mean, unsafe? Did you When you were labeled that, you called. You had to have called Facebook.
No, we did call because they told us it was not appealable. We couldn't appeal it.
That's
why we took it to social media.
Exactly.
Because it was not appealable.
That's right.
We wanted to know the question, well, what is unsafe with two black women supporting our president? What's unsafe about that? We had specific questions for them to answer because we wanted to know.
So
you know, we've been back and forth. If they wouldn't have wrote, it couldn't have been appealed, then maybe we would have kept going back and forth. But we've been back and forth with these people for almost 6 months.
For six, 7 months. I got it. 6 months, 5 days, 29 hours, 40 minutes, and 43 seconds.
That's how long we've been back and forth with them.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So where do you go from here?
Well, you know, Facebook has reached out to us. They reached out to us through Twitter this morning when we woke up and got to our little destination and saw all of Twitter.
And what did they say? What did the tweet say?
Oh God, I gotta get it. Now you put me on blast.
You paraphrase it.
Oh gee, well it's basically that they've been trying to reach out to us, but they want to talk to us. So I'm glad that we see now where they've reached out to us, and then we're gonna take it from there. We keep everybody updated and posted.
Okay.
Because I really want to talk to Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
We want to sit down face-to-face and talk to him because I really want him to understand that it's not just one point of view. It's you've got several points of views. And another thing, it's not just our pages. It's other conservative pages.
That's right.
That's seen a significant drop in their reach. And that's not fair. If you built your platform one person at a time, then those people deserve to see your content,
especially
if they want to see it.
And if Facebook is for all ideas being there on Facebook, then no algorithm should be in place to suppress some ideas.
That's right. So we want to talk to him, first of all, face-to-face.
That's right.
And then, you know, and then he's going to have to rectify this.
That's right.
He's going to have to make this right, and we're going to have to come to the table.
Yeah.
So he'll know, okay, this is what you need to do, because you got to make this here right.
I have a feeling he would rather go another round with Congress than the two of you.
We're very nice. I'm a very nice, humble, meek being, but I do not like to be branded. Don't brand me. You know, I don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable. Oftentimes, people of color always get stigmatized. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Don't do this, don't do that. But how is it that when you start pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, you have someone to come along and take those straps and think they can use them to hang you out to dry? No. If he can obtain the American dream, everybody else can attain the American dream. If the liberal voices can be heard, then the conservative voices need to be heard too. You're going to have to even out this here playing field or dismantle the whole Facebook.
That's right.
Facebook will be the face without the book and the book without the pages.
Amen. Diamond and Silk, thank you so much. Keep us up to speed on what is happening, and we strongly stand behind all voices being heard. It is not right what's happening to you. God bless.
Wow, thank you so much. And don't forget to go visit us at diamondandsilk.com.
I think that was Silk. I'm telling you, I'm going to make her an offer. I'm pulling her away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pull her away.
That's right. Amen.
I love these two. I think they are so funny.
Glenn Beck.
So Stu and I were just talking because he brought up a fact about Weird Al Yankovic, which
yes.
I try to keep off the air as much as possible.
I do talk about it quite a bit in the breaks.
Yes.
I don't get it back on the air, but this time we're lucky. 30 years ago today, even worse, an all-time classic in music history featuring the single Fat, a parody of Michael Jackson's Bad came out 30 years ago today.
30. Let me say that again. 30 years ago. I realized the other night that when I was growing up, I think I'm now older than the people that fought in World War II when I was growing up.
Mm.
And they seemed really old to me. And that seemed like a long time ago then. People who were my age then are now looking at me going, wow, you are ancient. And whoa, 1970? What? I mean, it's weird.
Yeah, it's still, you know, there's a couple people now. I get this all the time when I'm watching sports. Bartolo Colon, who's pitching for the Rangers this year, a svelte man, young man of 44, I believe, is still in the league, meaning that there's still someone in the league older than me. But, like, we're down to, like, two. There's, like, one kicker in the NFL, one pitcher in Major League Baseball. It's almost over.
I'm up to the owners. I mean, all the ones I have left are the owners. Yeah. I'll tell you, I was talking to somebody the other day. When you hit your 50s, the world just starts to look different. And you realize, like I just realized the other day, I got about 15 years till I'm 70. What?
Happens pretty fast, doesn't it?
Yeah. Wait a minute. What? 15 years? 15 years in reverse doesn't even get me to 9/11.
Jeez.
I mean, wait a minute. Hold it. Slow things down just a bit.
So you're closer to 70 than you are 9/11.
Yeah. That's craziness. That's craziness.
Man, that it goes fast.
Fast.
Might as well do something of value, I guess.
You know what? There. You get to the point to where you're like, yeah, I'm not going to argue about that. Nah, don't care. I'm not going to waste my time on that one. Nope. I mean, I've found myself settling, and I think maybe that's either just extreme apathy and laziness or wisdom. I'm not sure which it is yet.
Sometimes they're the same thing.
It could be. You know, there's. I think it's wisdom. I'm hoping that it's wisdom, but I'm getting to this place to where it's like, yeah, I remember that. All the sleepless nights worrying about that one. Nah, not really. It's going
to
be fine.
But, I mean, listen to hour one of this program today.
Yeah, oh yeah. No. There's things that are worth freaking out about, yeah. But just not the stuff that I used to freak out about.
But I think that's what's important, right?
Yeah.
Is that, you know, you only have a limited amount of time. You might as well spend it, you know, chasing things that are important.
So, you ready for this one? You know me. I'm not a collector. I'm a hoarder. If I were poor, I'd be a hoarder.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have some wealth, I'm an eccentric collector.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
No, I have stacks and stacks and stacks of old newspapers. I'm a hoarder. Okay? And I've gotten to this place. I was walking around my house with my wife the other day, and I'm like, what the hell do we have all this stuff for? She's like, I don't know. You keep collecting or hoarding it. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but everything in my house has a story. Everything is like, you know, like the rat. Everything has a... I'm like, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? For what? I just got to get rid of it all. And I'm in this weird place to where in some ways I'm turning into a millennial. Because millennials are kind of like, I don't want all that stuff. I'd rather, instead of having a big house, I'd rather go travel. I'd rather go do stuff. Me too. Me too.
Hashtag me too.
Oh my gosh.
You're in it.
Oh my gosh. I'm a hashtag me too person.
You know, I don't know how much I believe that. I think every generation comes up with this idea that they don't want the stuff, and then they find out they really do want the stuff. I saw an article today about Instagram, and that Instagram is now making millennials buy houses. Why? They're starting to see pictures on Instagram of their friends buying houses. So now all of a sudden they're getting much more interested in buying houses.
It's a trap. It's a trap.
This has been a long time coming for you, though. These thoughts have been coming a long time with you.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Back with more useful information when we come back.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
One Glenn Beck and Tanya Beck started a company called Real Estate Agents I Trust because they personally were frustrated trying to sell their home.
most people have a bad experience because they hire some random family member or some friend that is forced on them, and they're just, you know, too nice to say no. It usually ends very badly for everybody involved. But a home is the biggest investment you're ever going to make in your life. You need to have rock-solid advice, because if you screw up buying or selling a home, it can have financial impacts that can last for many years. Real Estate Agents I Trust is a network of over 1,200 agents all over America that are rigorously qualified by Glenn's team. Their experience, their marketing plans, their character, and the results they get for their clients are the barometers the team uses to ensure the network is made up of only the best agents in America. They also are fans of Glenn's and share his values and your values. If you need to sell a house fast and for the most money, or if you're looking to buy, go to realestateagentsitrust.com and you'll be introduced to the best agent in your town. realestateagentsitrust.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I want you to go and listen to the podcast if you missed hour number one today. It's really, really critical that you listen to hour number one. It's, you know, it involves secession, the Declaration of Independence, and the 12th Imam Mahdi. And the reason why I bring this up is if you've been listening for a while and you are aware of what the 12th Imam is and what the Iranians believe that is, we would describe as Christians, we would describe him as the Antichrist. It is their end time eschatology is the exact opposite of ours. Their bad guy is our good guy, and our good guy is their bad guy. It's remarkable. And you don't have to believe any of it. You just have to know they do. Putin just called Benjamin Netanyahu and said, please don't join this coalition against Syria. And Benjamin Netanyahu said, sorry, I can't. You're letting Iran in to the Middle East, and you don't have to take his word. I want to quote. Deputy Secretary General from the Iranian Republic Guard. He's talking now. They're operating in both Iraq and Syria, and he's talking about where they're at right now. Quote. Regional developments are creating the groundwork for the arrival of the Imam of Time. We are currently busy completing the encirclement of Israel, and soon we will pray in the Dome of the Rock. End quote. The Imam of Time is the Mahdi, or the 12th Imam. If you don't know what that is, look for old shows of mine on that in YouTube, and join me tonight at 5:30 after the regular show. For the news and why it matters. That's my lead story today. Welcome to Pat Gray.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Will we see it's you on the news and why it matters at 5:30 on The Blaze today?
Pat? I believe you will. Okay. Yes. Nice. If you look,
I like
you
to,
will.
I like to tune in and watch you on The Blaze. But you're also just to my left, which is just like you are right now.
Yeah. Right.
Makes it very easy to watch you.
I am not to your left ideologically,
I ask you guys something?
Yes.
You know, we've been talking a lot about Facebook listening to you and watching you, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Every day when we get together, I just have this weird feeling that people are listening and watching.
Watching.
And where's your evidence? Come up with some evidence of weird feelings.
All right.
We're talking
I'm just telling you, I feel it.
That anyway. Old paranoid Rockwell song.
Pat, will you... Great reference. Will you take us to Katy, Texas?
I will, because it's a fun little trip. Very surprising little get together of the school board meeting. But we've been following this for a week or two now, and we were absolutely stunned. Katy was having a school board meeting, and one of the citizens in the district got up and spoke. They were talking about bullying, and here's what happened.
My name is Greg Barrett. I graduated from KSD in 1983. I started in 1975 with Mr. Lance. My legal name is Greg Gay. I was bullied, unbelievably bullied. I started out and I had teachers that bullied me. I had kids that bullied me. Even the coaches, I had nobody to turn to. One day at lunch, I had my head shoved in the urinal where it busted my lip. I had laid on the ground in a fetal position as the kids kicked me. I got up, I rinsed my face off, I walked out of the lunchroom, walked straight to the principal's office, and he told me, these kids will grow up someday. They won't always be like this. But yet, here I am, covered in urine from laying on the ground underneath the urinal. My lip was busted, and they sent me home. Well, I went home, and I got the 45 out of my father's drawer and put it in my mouth. Because at this point, I had nobody in the school system to help me. Is that the way this is going to be? Lance, you were the one that shoved my head in the urinal.
Oh, my gosh. Now, that is the school superintendent.
Yeah.
So, imagine. Now, you're the school superintendent, and you are talking about bullying, and we got to get serious on bullying. And you see this guy come up. You may not recognize him. You might not have seen him since 1983. Mm. But when he says his name, if you were that bully, you absolutely remember. When he says, I was laying there in urine while everybody was kicking me, you remember that.
Oh, yeah. Even if you did it all the time, and a bully like that probably did, you would remember that incident.
So no one, this doesn't go, much further on that night. Later
in the week, they have another school board meeting, and he addresses what happened.
Lance addresses. Here he is.
While I understand the perception, please know my reaction this past Monday night was one of shock. It wasn't one of disrespect or insensitivity. I was purely shocked. To the hometown that raised me and where I now proudly serve, I regret the negative attention that's been brought to this community in the past week. Ultimately, I'll be judged by one person.
Yes, yes.
And that is God, my Lord and Savior. That's who will judge me.
Right, but we're not talking about ultimately. We're talking about your position now as Katie Superintendent of Public Schools.
Who's trying to fight against bullying.
Yeah, who's making $375,000. Now, he claims he doesn't even know this guy. He claims it didn't happen. He doesn't know him. Two witnesses have come forth. One is a circuit judge in Alabama now. Says it absolutely happened, and this guy was a big bully in high school, in junior high and high school. And the second is a Katy resident named Christopher Dolan, who claims he was in the bathroom and saw it all happen. And he has since apologized to Greg Gay for not intervening and trying to help him. So it's splitting that community in half because half the people want it gone.
How is that possible to split that community in half? How?
It should be pretty clear cut.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you could say, well, he's changed since then.
Then he needs to step forward and say, I did this. My gosh, I am sorry. And show the empathy that Christ would show.
Especially when you're talking about bullying in the school district. Wouldn't that be the quintessential thing to do?
Actually, it would be a great way to talk about it, too.
It would.
Hey, I did these things. Even the kids that are involved in this aren't necessarily maybe even bad kids. Maybe they wind up being upstanding members, we need to stop it before it starts.
In an unrelated issue, but it ties in because it goes to his character. When he was 18 years old, he, after a drug and alcohol party, he was speeding through a neighborhood taking his girlfriend home. And a guy who had just arrived home with his wife from dinner was getting out of his car, was on the driveway, and yelled, "Hey, slow down!" So he slammed on his brakes, backed up, and came over and beat the man into a 5-day coma.
Holy crap!
Broke his ribs, fractured his skull. I mean, it was serious.
Were there charges filed?
He was sued for it. I've never seen an explanation for why it was dropped, but it was dropped.
He come from a powerful family?
Probably. probably. And he was just a kid who felt entitled. He says in 1990 he found God and was as changed.
That's fine.
That's fine.
That's
right.
Fine.
That, again, that's not the issue.
Look, if I said to you, hey, you know, I'm a great guy. And somebody came up and said, you know, I knew Glenn in 1985. He fired me for bringing him the wrong pen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know the name of that guy, Tom Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not his real name, a name I gave to him. I screw people's names all the time.
Oh, really?
Russell,
yeah. Really?
The love
is that
muscle
true?
Was actually,
yeah.
You remember Russell the Love Muscle was actually the name we gave
yeah,
him.
I know. So anyway,
well, that's actually a compliment.
Yeah.
So I fired people. I picked Russell up by the tie one time and said, I'm going to eat you for effing breakfast. I was not a good guy. Tom and I are good friends. Tom's in Harrisburg now, and we're good friends. And when I changed, I made the point of reaching out to him and saying, man, I'm sorry.
Got to be restitution, right?
You got to
go to your victims and say,
I'm sorry, man.
Sorry.
I am sorry.
Yeah,
I'm
still named Stu, and no apologies. None.
No, not one.
No, my wife calls me Stu. It's not my name.
Yeah.
But I'm...
That happened because the friend I was with was drunk.
No, don't blame Vinny for that. It was your fault.
Vinny was drunk.
It was not his fault at all. You screwed it up.
Because he said, I said, who is, and he said, this is trying to say Steve, and I heard Stu, and I called you Stu, and I contend the first time I called you Stu, maybe you don't say anything. The third time, maybe. When you're working side by side every day, at some point you say, you know, Glenn, I just have
to
say
my name.
My name's not Stu.
Yeah, I that happened.
You told me that?
Yes, of course
no,
I did.
No, that's not true. Anyway.
This is a hoax. Been going on a long time.
This is a problem for Katie.
Yeah.
We all have to have Christian compassion. But we all have to ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
If that guy would have, because when I first saw that second clip and he starts to cry, I'm thinking this guy could pull out a gun and kill himself. He feels so bad.
Yeah. No.
No, he doesn't.
And
he's
actually
denying it with witnesses.
When you hear the first clip at the very end, you hear somebody giggle and everybody says it was him. And that's why he addresses it, that my reaction wasn't one of insensitivity. I was shocked. Wait, you giggled over that story? That was a heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching story. You don't giggle after that. I don't care what your state of mind is. And what are you shocked about? If you know you're a bully, pretty good chance somebody is eventually going to mention it to you.
So how is...
Especially if it's that bad.
Is his name Greg or Garrett? What was his name?
His name was Greg.
Greg.
He goes by Barrett apparently now.
So how is he doing it? I mean, have you heard anything from him? I mean,
I don't
imagine.
Know. He was disgusted with the response.
I would imagine he was. Imagine this. You were told by a principal something that you didn't believe at the time, but you had to believe it was going to happen. You then see this guy go up the school board.
Yeah.
And he's never been held responsible for it. Nobody's ever said anything. He's making $350,000 a year. And he's lecturing about bullying.
Yeah,
you would think, you know what? I can't take it anymore. I have to say something. You say something and you realize the principal was wrong. He's still exactly the same. How do you deal with that?
Yeah. And it's, you know, in a world where one word that somebody uttered 40 years ago in jest loses somebody not just a job, but their entire career. And they're shunned almost from society. They're never around anymore. You don't even see their name mentioned. But all of that
doesn't
matter.
And I have to tell you, not that I want Lance to be fired. I mean, that's not my position to even say that. I just want Lance to
show some contrition.
Whether that means he loses his job or not, to me, that doesn't matter. But somebody should gather around and go, you know what, dude, you're kind of a pariah in the community. And I mean, that's pretty hurtful. And there's a lot of people here that verify. Some say they were there. I mean, dude, you know, you where's your contrition? Then you can embrace him.
It'd be a great lesson, too, to teach the school district about bullying.
And kids.
Yeah.
And kids. What are you
Who better?
Teaching?
If he weren't around to the schools in the Katy system and talked about his experiences and how deeply he regrets it now, Wouldn't that be a powerful thing?
Because without that, the less...
If the two of them could get together, you imagine they could go on a tour all around the country.
Right.
You know, look, I was horrible to this man. And
that would be something else.
I've lived with it my whole life. He brought it to light. I confessed, and I have been broken in half, and now we're friends. Imagine how good that would be.
And without that, it's just the message is you can do this and there'll be no repercussions.
Oh, there's going to be a kid. There's going to be a kid that is being kicked by a bully and a urinal. And he's going to say, and someday I'm going to make $375,000 a year. And I'm going to keep doing it to people like you.
Luckily, with inflation, it's not going to be anything by then. So...
Glenn Beck.
Welcome to the program. Tomorrow I want to tell you about a guy who runs a bear fund on Wall Street who says, look, I thought there was going to be a melt up. He said, so I was actually very bullish on the stock market for a while, but what's happening in Syria and what's happening with the Fed right now because of the trade wars, he said, I think is very, very disturbing. We should probably spend a few minutes talking about that on tomorrow's program. We'll see you at 5 o'clock only on theblaze.com/TV.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.